ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रसाद बुद्धदेव श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतदेव गौरवाणि प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवाणि पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्री गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 52, Verse 42. Ata porantaracari anihatya bandhu. Tvam udvahe katam hiti pravadam yapayam. Purve dur asti mahati kula devayatra. Yasyam bahir navavadur girijam upeya. Antapura, woman's quarter of the palace. Antara, within. Charim, moving. Anihatya, without killing. Bandhu, relatives. Tvam, you. Udvahe, I shall carry away. Katam, how, iti, saying such words. Pravadami, I shall explain. Upayam, means, purvedhu, on the day before. Asti, there is. Mahati, large. Kula, of the royal family. Deva, for the presiding deity. Yatra, ceremonial procession. Yasyam, in which. Bahi, outside. Nava, new. Vadu, bride. Girijam, goddess Girija. Upeyat, approaches. Translation, since I will be staying within the inner chambers of the palace, who may wonder, how can I carry you away without killing some of your relatives? And I shall tell you a way. On the day before the marriage, there's a grand procession to honor the royal family's deity, and in this procession, the new bride goes outside the city to visit goddess Girija. Purport, clever Rukmini, anticipated a possible objection on the part of Sri Krishna. He certainly would not object to subduing rascals like Shishupala and Jarasandha, but he might be reluctant to injure or kill Rukmini's relatives, some of whom might block his way to the palace's inner sanctum where the women were protected. The procession to or from the temple of Girija Durga would provide the perfect opportunity for Krishna to kidnap Rukmini without harming her relatives. O lotus-eyed one, great souls like Lord Shiva hanker to bathe in the dust of your lotus feet and therefore destroy their ignorance. If I cannot obtain your mercy, I shall simply give up my vital force, which will have become weak from the severe penances I will perform. Then, after hundreds of lifetimes of endeavor, I shall obtain your mercy. The divine Rukmini's extraordinary dedication to Sri Krishna is possible only on the spiritual platform, not on in the fragile world of mundane affection. The Brahmana said, "This is the confidential message I have brought with me, O Lord of the Yadus. Please consider what must be done in these circumstances and do it at once." Purport, when the Brahmana arrived, he broke the seal of a confidential letter written in the privacy of Rukmini's quarters and meant only for Lord Krishna. Using the term Guja Sandesha, a trustworthy Brahmana personally selected by Rukmini, here affirms that he has not violated the confidentiality of this message. Only Lord Krishna has heard it. Since the marriage of Rukmini was fast approaching, Sri Krishna would have to act immediately. The term Vyadudeva indicates that Lord Krishna, as the Lord of the powerful, completion of the message of Rukmini sent by the Brahmana. And in this letter or message, she has directly indicated her very strong attachment to Krishna, and also that he is the Supreme Lord, and that she doesn't want to have anyone else as her husband. And she's delivered this through the Brahmana in a very confidential way so that no one else can understand this. So Krishna received this letter in confidence, also in a solitary place where no one else could hear the message. And so the Brahmana was finished with his duty, but he pleaded on behalf of Rukmini that Krishna must act in some way. So in the circumstance, of course, the marriage was to happen very, very quickly, in a few days. And the only possibility would be that Krishna himself goes there and somehow abducts her and stops the marriage, since the preliminaries had already been arranged for Rukmini to marry Shishupala. Nothing could really be done at this point except to carry out this process of Rakshasa-type marriage. So in her letter, in this particular verse, Rukmini mentions how the way to do it is, without harming her close relatives, would be to abduct her when she went to the temple of Durga Devi outside. And at that time, it would be much easier to take her away. And, of course, this is that is described in the next chapter, how she went to the temple, and then everyone saw her. You know, all the demons became mad with desire for her because of her beauty. And she was always also very worried because Krishna had not arrived and he was nowhere around. And then suddenly he appeared and he took her away, to everyone's surprise, including her surprise. So in this way, this arrangement of going to the temple of Durga Devi gave an opportunity for him to carry out this feat without too much violence. But there was also opposition. There was opposition of the brother, and was opposition of Shishupala and his the other demons. But that was actually not very considerable in the sense that they were not devotees anyway, so therefore it didn't matter if they get harmed or injured in some way. So this became a very good plan that Rukmini had arranged for Krishna, in which there was a minimum of violence and only the demons would get harmed. And that is why she mentions this particular method in her letter to Krishna. So as I mentioned yesterday, she had great attraction and had made a determination that no one else should be her husband on the basis of hearing only, not seeing at all, just hearing about him. So this also indicates that there were many people who were devotees of Krishna, and they had also accepted him as Supreme Lord. So they were also full of praise for Krishna. And it's because of this that Rukmini developed her attraction. But as we also have heard explained, she is also eternally the consort of Krishna. So therefore, it would not take too much to incite her love of Krishna, even though she had not seen him. But from the, let's say, the point of view of the pastime where they're acting like rather normal people without identifying as eternal consorts, etc., she develops this strong attraction at a certain point in time, and it cannot be broken at all and by anything. So that is an indication of prema. The definition of prema is that in spite of obstacles, it is never obstructed, it never decreases. In fact, the obstacles only increase the love. So here we find an obstacle in the love, that is the marriage ceremony to Shishupala, and also all the other demons surrounding the place and whatever. So there is an obstacle to her love. And of course, the very fact that Krishna was at a distance in another city, and she also didn't even know if he would respond one way or the other. Of course, the Brahmana came back with a consoling message, but even then she had doubts whether he would come or not, and the hour was getting very late, and then still no message came. So this is also an obstacle. She had to communicate by letter, and then she was unsure of the response of Krishna even. So that's another type of obstacle for her. But in spite of this, her love continued, and she never gave up. So she had obstacles from her family members in terms of brother, Rukmi, and obstacles because of the distance involved and having to communicate only by letter once, without a very sure response from Krishna what he would do if he actually agreed to do this, or even if he had agreed, was he actually going to carry it out? So there was this type of uncertainty about her position. But she did not give up that love of Krishna. And so, finally, Krishna did come, and then later he took her away and they got married. So in this way, the whole problem was resolved. And it ended up with union after this separation of plural raga. So, well, this ends up as a marriage. We'll have similar types of pastimes in Vrindavan, where, for instance, Radha is in love with Krishna. But also, sometimes Krishna does not communicate, or he communicates in a way that looks as if he's very indifferent. Of course, he does that on purpose. But this causes great confusion in Radha, and then she begins to worry about him. But her love does not disappear. It simply increases. So, in either case, whether it is in Vrindavan or in outside of Vrindavan, in the pastimes in Dwarka, we have a similar type of prema, which meets obstacles and never decreases. The case in Vrindavan is a little different, however, because Radha's already married. That's more of an obstacle. Here, there's a brother is an obstacle. There, everybody is an obstacle. There's a husband obstacle. There's a parent's obstacle. There's in-law obstacles. Everybody obstacle. And the general populace is often an obstacle because there is the opinion of the public. And generally, this is condemned. So there's a huge obstacle there, a much greater obstacle. Now, we don't find the obstacle of demons involved as we do here with marriage to Shishupala, etc. But on the other hand, Krishna is displaying his powers and acting as a king. So there is some, we say, freedom here in which Krishna can freely act to carry out his desires and satisfy Rukmini. In Vrindavan, it is a little different because Krishna is playing a cowherd boy, and he also has to keep everything secret. He cannot publicly display his valor or his love or anything. So the situation is much more difficult there. Very, very difficult, particularly for the gopis, including Radha, because everything has to be done very, very secretly. And no one can be aware of it. The parents cannot be aware of it at all. In the case of Rukmini, she actually told her father, "I don't want to marry Shishupal." So it was a little bit public. She disagreed, but in Vrindavan, their attraction to Krishna is completely secret. It's a greater obstacle. The meeting has many more obstacles in it because of the nature of the parakeya love. This increases the intensity of that love because of that particular situation. And that is why the love in Vrindavan is considered more intense than the love of the queens in Dwarka, because of the parakeya nature of the rasa. The other difference, of course, is that actually in Dwarka, Rukmini is the first queen, and her nature actually is a little different. In spite of the fact that here she acts rather boldly, her relationship with Krishna is rather submissive. And this is exactly the nature of Chandravali in Vrindavan. So often Chandravali and Rukmini are equated. Whereas Radha is not submissive like that. So they're opposites in some way. Nevertheless, Krishna is attracted to both of them. So therefore, Radha is considered to be the highest devotee. Is Chandravali. She's second in line. So second greatest gopi, in spite of the fact that they have opposite natures. But Krishna prefers that obstinate, stubborn nature in Vrindavan. Whereas in Dwarka, we see that the prominent queen is Rukmini, who is more submissive, and Satyabhama is the one who's more obstinate, and therefore she's identified with Radha. So there is a difference in the qualities of the different gopis, and similarly there's differences in the qualities of the queens in Dwarka. But in Dwarka there's a little bit of a different arrangement, because everyone is married, he's married to all the queens, and they all have separate palaces. So he can respond to them all very freely. And he can do that simultaneously as well. So there's, we can say, an advantage there in Dwarka, because he can very freely expand himself in all the palaces and be with all the queens simultaneously. So there's no real obstacle in those married relationships there. Whereas in Vrindavan, we find that the attraction is more, and the obstacles are always there, and they never go away. So they're always constantly in anxiety. And due to the nature of the love affairs there, you find that Radha becomes very prominent, and even though she has the most intense love, she also has an intense stubbornness and anger at Krishna in many cases. So this increases the variety of pastimes there in Vrindavan. In any case, we'll find that we have a Madhurya Rasa with either the gopis or with the queens of Dwarka. Those who are doing sadhana can aspire also to be a gopi or to even be a queen in Dwarka. Of course, they won't be the major queens, but there'll be some secondary person there, but they can also have Madhurya Rasa in some form with Krishna, either in Dwarka or in Vrindavan. And to do that, then they have to worship in a particular way, concentrating on those particular queens, etc., or the gopis, and develop similar type of love. So therefore, the Madhurya Rasa with Krishna is open to everyone. It is not open in other forms of the Lord. So with Vishnu, there is a limit to the persons having Madhurya Rasa. We have Lakshmi and a few expansions like Guru and Sri and others. Other than that, no. So you can never aspire for that type of relationship with Vishnu. So that is why Krishna is considered to be Swayam Bhagavan, because in his relationships the devotees can also aspire for a greater variety in the rasa, whereas with Vishnu it is by and large only Dasya Rasa with great Aishwarya involved. And with Krishna, one can choose any of the five major rasas, primary rasas, and develop affection with Krishna. And if it's in Vrindavan, even the Aishwarya aspect disappears. So there's a greater variety of love, also more intimate love than with the other forms of the Lord. So even Krishna and Dwarka has certain features which are not manifested in Vishnu. Right? For instance, the devotees can aspire for Madhurya Rasa. They cannot do that in Vaikuntha at all. And although the queens regard Krishna as Supreme Lord, etc., still, the attraction to Krishna is very special, whether he's in Dwarka or in Vrindavan. That form of Krishna has a very special attraction for everybody. And therefore, the sweetness of the relationship is somewhat different from that with Vishnu, Narayana. For instance, we find the Gopakumar, he goes to Vaikuntha, and he sees Vishnu there. Later on, he goes to Ayodhya, and he sees Rama, and he recognizes, oh yes, this is also Vishnu, but he's a little more attractive. And then he goes to Dwarka, and he sees Krishna, and it's more attractive, in spite of the fact that he's still got, you know, power, displaying power, etc. So even when Krishna does display his powers, he has a certain amount of attractiveness which is superior to that of the other forms of the Lord. So though it is most intense in Vrindavan, where there is no aspect of Aishwarya, still in Dwarka also, even that form has got some higher taste to it than the form other forms of the Lord. So therefore Krishna in any case is very, very special, even though he does not manifest as much of the qualities of sweetness in Dwarka as he does in Vrindavan. Here we have, previously we have the description of the pastimes in Vrindavan. And there was a few pastimes about Mathura, not too many. And now we have pastimes in Dwarka. So there's quite a few pastimes in Dwarka. Many, of course, which involve killing demons, etc. But there is some description also of Krishna marrying all the different queens, Krishna's pastimes with the different queens, and prominently with Rukmini. So we also get a description of Madhurya Rasa in some detail in Dwarka as well. This does not mean that the other rasas are not prominent there also. There's not so much description is given, but all the other rasas are also functioning very nicely in Dwarka as well. Though there is this, we can say, consciousness of Krishna as Supreme Lord. The elders always have a vatsalya relationship with Krishna, and others have dasya relationship, and we have a few friends as well manifesting. All the rasas are also manifested within Dwarka, just as in Vrindavan. Though Vrindavan, Krishna is called Purna, Purnatara, and Purnatama, we find that Dwarka actually is at the bottom, and Mathura is superior. And then finally, Vrindavan. But in terms of pastimes, we'll find more pastimes about Dwarka than about Mathura. However, it's also described elsewhere that Mathura also is a very active place. So it's also an eternal place in the spiritual world. Dwarka is there, Mathura is there, and Vrindavan is there. And sometimes the pastimes are different there. So it even describes that the queens, he has queens in Mathura as well as Dwarka. So he may have pastimes in other yugas as well, where he gets married and he has queens in Mathura as well as in Dwarka. So therefore, Mathura, there's not too much description of the pastimes. It's also full of all the different rasas. But there's a little difference, and therefore it's called Purnatara, more perfect. So why is that? Now, there's not a complete reason given anywhere, but we can understand that in Mathura, Krishna has not really matured in one sense and doesn't display his aspect as a king. In Mathura, he goes off to the Gurukul, so he's still a child, etc. And then later when he goes to Dwarka, and then we find him sitting on the golden throne, as we see here with the Brahmana approaching. And then he begins to marry all these queens, and he has 16,108 palaces. So we see a lot of grandeur there. So there's much more emphasis put upon the grand aspect of Krishna in Dwarka than in Mathura. So that eclipses the sweetness to some extent. So for that reason, he's Purna in Dwarka, Purnatara in Mathura, and Purnatama in Vrindavan. But in any case, Krishna is superior to all the other forms.
Can we take this in the sense of Rukmini requesting Krishna to take her away? To be an analogy for the fallen souls in the material world?
Well, indirectly we can say that. This, of course, is a particular pastime where there are parents and brother involved in opposition, etc. But it does display the intensity of the love, so that in any case there should be the Krishna should come and rescue them. But this occasion is a case of marriage. In the case of the jivas in the material world, it's not particularly marriage as such with the Supreme Lord. But nevertheless, they want to be under the protection of the Lord.
But here, Rukmini, Radharani, we are mentioning about Radharani not being so submissive, or she is being very stubborn. Is it by nature, or is it for the sake of Krishna she is acting? I mean, she is playing that.
Nature. Okay. Well, there is. Well, in Lamani, there's a whole description of the different types of gopis and their different moods, etc., like that. So some are very mild and innocent, some are more bold, some are less bold, some are very argumentative, and whatever like this. So each particular gopi has a particular nature, which is their character. And Krishna's attracted to all the different varieties.
But again, the obstacle generally is supposed to increase love. But for a sadhaka, we see it is more of a... It slows down the interest, or it's more of a negative energy, Maharaj. An obstacle comes on the path of consciousness. Maharaj just mentioned that the obstacles is generally used for the sake of increasing one's love for Krishna.
Yeah.
In a sadhaka's life, when obstacles comes, it puts more as a negative energy.
Yeah, of course. In the material world, it's different. It's not. This is the definition of prema. If we don't have prema, the obstacles are going to be different. It's not going to increase the love and make it stronger at all. It may weaken it or whatever, because we're in a weak state and we haven't developed our love to the highest degree yet. So that is why there's a difference there.
Well, is there any significance in terms of Hiranyaksha taking away Bhumadevi, or Ravana taking away Sita, or here Sisupala is trying to take away Rukmani? Is there a significance? Because all of them seem to be playing a kind of similar role, Maharaj.
With who, the demons?
Yeah, Hiranyaksha, then Ravana, then here Shishupala, who are coming from those two gatekeepers. They seem to be playing a similar role, like taking away Bhumi, taking away Sita, trying to take away Rukmini.
Well, obviously shows that the demons don't recognize the Lord as the final authority. So if the Lord has something beautiful or whatever, then they also want that. So if he has a beautiful wife, they want his wife. If they have, if he has wealth, they want wealth, etc. Or in the case of, what's this, Pandraka, even put on forearms to look like. So they may imitate the Lord in many ways or try to assume his position. So this is merely indicating their desire to be the highest enjoyer. So they, whatever the Lord has, they want something superior to that.
We see, you know, when Rukmini sent letter to Krishna, but Krishna didn't respond the letter. And Rukmini was waiting. So this waiting increased the love for Rukmini. Okay, can you say that? But in Sanskrit it's called as Sangam, means when they meet together after separation. Does meeting decrease the love or?
It fulfills the love. It fulfills the love. If there's no meeting at all, then there is a frustration ultimately. So in pastimes, in the material world, of course, it may be different, but in the terms of pastimes, the longing is finally fulfilled by a meeting, and it's very satisfying. Now, of course, one could objectively say the love is stronger in separation and lesser in meeting, but it's simply that they have different qualities. So in rasa, generally, they define the whole rasa in terms of the two aspects, separation and union. And they're both there. So we can't say one is superior to the other. They both go together. They cannot be separated, really. And even after separation, union, then there's separation again. Then there's separation again. And then there's union again.
Thank you for your wonderful class, Maharaj. I had a question. Usually we we see that Aishwarya and Madhurya have like an inverse relationship. Like as the intensity of Aishwarya increases, the intensity of the Madhurya decreases. But then I was reading and hearing in some places that there's one place where it's not like this. In Jagannath Puri, there's Aishwarya Madhurya Milan, where as the Aishwarya increases, the intensity of the Madhurya increases to the same degree. So I was wondering if you could speak a little bit on that.
The Goswamis don't really explain too much about that. Maybe the local people have more of a insight into that. But as far as like Griha Bhagavatamrita goes, so we have descriptions of Jagannath there. But then, finally, the highest thing is meeting Krishna in Vrindavan again, or Goloka. So, in terms of that, it seems to be a mixture, definitely a mixture. But the preference seems to be for the pure, ultimately the pure sweetness in Vrindavan over everything else. But certainly, we can find that the Jagannath is a little bit different. It's kind of like Dwarka, but it's also not like Dwarka in one sense, because Krishna's very form is an ecstatic form of memory of Vrindavan. So it's kind of placed above Dwarka also.
Thank you.
Maharaj, means here we see, as you told, Rukmini doubted Krishna, means whether he will come or not, like that. So in sadhaka stage also, means Lord Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, like if anyone doubts in this scripture or in me, there will be complete delusion. So how to... So Lord Krishna mentioned in Bhagavad Gita one shloka, right? Means if anyone doubts in me, there will be complete delusion, means doesn't have a faith. So how to understand both?
Well, this is on a different level. Doubt in the material world creates what? The weakness of faith, which is an obstacle. But doubt in the spiritual world for persons who have perfect love is simply, this is one, we can say, a vibhachari bhava, which is part of rasa. So we see there's 33 vibhachari bhavas, or minor emotions, such as doubt arising, fear arising, worry, chinta, great worry and anxiety arising. So these are connected with rasa itself, manifestations of the sthayi bhava, and they contribute to the rasa. So it's different from what happens in the material world, which we can say where doubt is a manifestation of material qualities.
Okay. Normally, another question. So, Jiva has 50 qualities of Lord Krishna. So, and Vishnu has 60 qualities. But Kshirodaksha Vishnu is staying in means all living entities. So, how to understand? Means Jiva has 50 qualities because we are the Jivas, and Vishnu has 60 qualities. But inside our heart, all living entities, Kshirodaksha Vishnu is staying, residing. So it seems like we have 60 qualities.
Well, we're separate from Vishnu, even if he's within us. So simply because he's in us doesn't mean we manifest all those qualities. So in other words, one of the qualities that distinguishes Vishnu is he creates universes. But the Jiva doesn't create universes, even if Vishnu is inside you. So we don't create universes as Jivas. No? The Lord has certain powers, we have separate powers.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.